This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. When you can't be here for the live show, and we appreciate whenever you can, wherever you are tuned in to AMI Audio and listening to Kelly and Company and hearing your feedback or just knowing you're out there, always wonderful. But if you can't be here for the live show, check out one of the repeats. 5 p.m. midnight, 5 a.m. Eastern time, all these are available to you to check out Kelly and Company if by chance 2 in the afternoon when we do our live show is not possible. On the weekends too, remember, we've got the best of Kelly and Company Saturdays and Sundays right here on AMI Audio. Rami Amuth and Kelly McDonald, host of the show. So for me, it was Jergen soap for my mom. Do you have a particular smell that is your mom? And don't say all the stuff she cooks because you're trying to suck up for food. this weekend, Ma, I think we're bubbled together and we'll get you to make something nice.
It's not something that I associate with my mom, really, but she loves putting incense around the house. So just, it ruins.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about getting on the city bus and running into that smell. Mom, you here?
You would be surprised. Sometimes you'll walk through like apartment buildings or something and other people are using it, right? And I'm like, does my mom live here? Like, it's just
that's familiar. A whole other subject, walking through buildings and the different smells, how one floor of a building can have six or seven different odors, whether it's food, whether it's,
Then you get in the stairwell and something completely,
What about you, McGee? Was there a smell that you associated always with family?
I was going to say cow manure, but that's dairy farm. It's working in the garden. It's the dirt.
Oh, really?
It's the dirt, the smell of dirt. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I'd paid more attention to my mother when it came to how she started her seedlings and grew things, because she was very good. Both her and my uncle were excellent, and a lot of manure talk in our family, because you use that to fertilize, right? But like the smell.
A lot in mine, too, but it's a total different, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you work in the dirt and you pull weeds and you smell the earth.
Yes. That especially when it's damp, right?
Yeah, I still go out and pull weeds and cut the grass, and it reminds me of my mom every single time.
I used to love that, the dark, cool, when it was cool, that smell if my mom had me working in the garden with her. So I totally know what you mean. I think the manure, that would cover too many moms because that carries far in the country.
I was going to say, she grew up in a dairy farm, so it wasn't insulting, but you know, I find it a very sweet smell.
Yeah.
Cow manure is a very sweet, pleasant. And we used to use it for fertilizer in the garden every spring. And we go and take the big van and get buckets full of cow manure to my uncle's farm. And good times.
Good times.
Well, we've spread that subject out a little bit.
My mother is rolling in her grave right now. And I'm discussing this on the air like this.
How dare you talk about that on the air? Today for our regional content report, we are joined by Karen McGee, AMI Content Development Specialist in Ottawa. And our first discussion point is a recent graduate of the CNIB Guide Dog Program has found his home as a buddy dog.
So the buddy dog program, have you guys heard of this before? Have we talked about this before?
Yeah.
So
the buddy dog program, yes.
So basically, for people who don't know, they're dogs that may not show great promise as a guide dog. Basically, they don't make the cut, which it takes a very special dog to be a guide dog. I know none of my dogs that I've ever owned in my life would ever come close to making the cut to be a guide dog. Diane Bergeron, who's the president of CNIB Guide Dogs, describes to the Ottawa Citizen that buddy dogs are dogs who offer support to owners in many other ways, as they hold almost all the skills of a certified guide dog. So they're not quite there. There's something that that befriended them being a guide dog. It's kind of like a beginner guide dog for kids. One lucky recipient of a buddy guide dog is 8-year-old Ollie Acosta Pickering. He lost his sight a couple of years ago through illness, and his new guide dog, Hope, is giving him a chance to get used to having a dog around. So Hope was originally being trained as a guide dog, but she showed slight sensitivity to the required harness. So she was switched to the buddy program. So she has a lot of the skills and the temperament, but not quite there yet. So she's not technically a certified a service dog. She's a buddy. And I love that name, the buddy. So this is a really great way to introduce kids who may be on their way and interested in becoming getting a guide dog as they get older to some of the things about dogs. Like, they're a lot of work. Rami, I'm sure you can attest to that. Dogs are a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes, they are.
You have to feed them, and you have to walk them, and you have to maybe vacuum a little bit more around the house. I know I do with dogs around.
Yeah.
So it's just a great way to introduce younger kids to some of the responsibilities of having a dog around. I think it's a wonderful program and a great way to keep these dogs who were trained for something to be still part of a service, but mm-hmm. not technically service dogs.
Well, when you go from, you know, kids could have the pet around the house, you go to having more responsibility, even though that you have responsibility with the pet as well, but with the buddy dog. And I see a lot more younger people than when I was a kid, you know, 14, 13, having guide dogs and the ability to get. And I think if you're looking at that bridge from one to the other to the other, this is a no-brainer, I would think.
Yeah, because like, they have some of the skills, and they're connected with the CNIB, and just the way, like, I mean, I know, Kelly, you're not an animal person. However, if you were somebody who was thinking about it as a younger person, thinking about getting a guide dog when you're a little bit older, I think this is a great, great way just to get your family used to it, too, because get the whole family used to having a dog around, because if you've never had a pet before, that can be a huge adjustment.
Well, and even if you had the proper... A pet's one thing. A buddy dog has other jobs and cannot really, the family's got to learn, don't distract. Don't do some of the things that when the person gets a guide dog, you know, you really don't want to be doing because it can get them into trouble. So how's Hope been fitting in with the new family?
So according to Ollie's mom, Dawn, it's like Hope was basically meant for them. They gave Ollie sort of not a reward, but sort of, this is a goal you're working to get this dog. And it really helped motivate him when he was really sad. I mean, he struggled a little bit with illness and losing his vision. And he's fit right into the family. And the photo from the Ottawa Citizen, now Ollie's got a cherub face, and he is smiling from ear to ear. And I swear Hope is smiling as well. So Hope's a black lab, and he's got his arm around Hope, and they're sitting on the stoop of the porch. And the picture makes me smile. Because Aww. You can just see the joy in both of their faces, both the dogs and Ollie's. They've really bonded. And his mother also says that Hope has really provided the family during this time as much needed stress relief for all of them. Opportunity to get outside. They have to go for walks every day and exercise. And Dawn says it's been really comforting to see how well Hope was trained and how much she's been able to help Ollie with his independence and giving him a lot more confidence in himself. So again, what a wonderful way for dogs who, you know, are being trained for a purpose, and they still have a very important purpose and a very important job. It's sort of a gateway dog to a guide dog. Gateway dog.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Gateway dog. No, definitely. Like the kind of purposes that you're talking about, Karen, is so flexible, right? I mean, you go through the journey and then you think, okay, they don't necessarily, or they can't necessarily succeed here, but there are places to succeed. And, you know, it comes with the responsibility, the love and joy of having a dog. So it fits so nicely. Thanks for sharing that one. And the next story you wanted to share is the new Haven Learning Center. It's making a difference in the lives of families with children who have autism. So how are they supporting these families?
So the center is in Toronto, and it was founded in 1998 by a group of parents. And basically, these parents are finding that in mainstream education, there wasn't really the evidence-based programming that really helps people with autism in Toronto. So they founded this program. It targets three main areas that children of autism face. Speech and nonverbal communication, social interaction, and repetitive and restrictive behaviors. So they work with them. And for the Rivera family, who were featured in the Toronto Life article that I read, this New Haven Center has made a big difference in the life of their five-year-old son, James. In his old daycare, James would often be found alone, either reading a book and not really participating with his playmates, not really engaging. At New Haven, he's really blossomed. He was nonverbal, and now he knows more than half the letter sounds, associates some sounds with words, and functionally uses an iPad to communicate. So he's learned how to communicate, and that's huge for not just James, but his family and his peers. They've even seen progress, like everybody's had to move to remote learning in a lot of cases, and they've even seen James able to still progress with that, whereas before he may not have been successful. So, you know, he's excited to go to school. He's excited to connect with his peers now. So that's a huge step, and it shows the good work this program is doing.
Yeah, and the important part that you mentioned there, for me at least, is the evidence base, right? Like all these things that you're talking about is productivity and progress and things that you can actually measure that the center is helping him with. That's amazing. How about older children?
So once kids get to school age, they're taught the Ontario curriculum alongside their therapy. And the goal of the center, and I there was something in the article, and I don't have it right up in front of me, but where they said that our goal isn't like what you're going to do when you get here. Our goal is when can we get you out? So their goal is to really introduce students into an inclusive school environment and help them progress into the mainstream education, but public schools. So about 50% of the students spend part of their day at New Haven and then part of the day at local public schools. So they're getting the best of both worlds. For older students, the program offers skills to gain integrated into society, including a vocational program that helps participants find meaningful employment in the community. And if you want to learn about their excellent programming at New Haven, you can check out their website at newhavencenter.com. But it's one of those things they work in conjunction with. It's not against the schools, it's with the schools, which I think is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not even independently of, right? Like it's a very collaborative effort because you're trying to get to know the students, what they're doing, how we can help, and then send them back into the systems as well.
And the big thing is how you learn. One of the things that I've learned as I got older is everybody learns differently.
Yep-er.
And I remember taking a course in college as part of my HR training, long story, that it was sort of like a light bulb moment that everybody learns differently. And it really changed the way I interacted with co-op students and volunteers and interns in how would you like me to teach this to you? Do you want to watch me do it? Do you want me to talk you through it while you do it? Or do you want me to hand you something that I've written up? And you can go through it yourself.
And then things can't be too rigid, right? Everybody has that a right to learn the best way that we can learn. And, you know, one person isn't any smarter or less because they prefer auditory or they prefer to spend time reading something. I think it's a benefit to a manager or a teacher to know which way.
Yeah. And it's you know, during my education, that may not have always been an option. No. And I love how schools like this and centers like this are like, everybody learns differently, and the whole education system, I'm older, I don't have any kids to be in it, but from what I've seen, most teachers seem to be a lot more adaptable to that.
Yeah.
So-and-so is going to learn better this way, and so-and-so is going to learn better this way. And it really helps benefits the students and the teachers, because kids aren't getting frustrated, parents aren't getting frustrated. So
true.
I love this idea.
Yeah, me too. Awesome stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys are my one chat today. I saved my voice for you guys.
Good for you.
Thank you. Save
it for 2 weeks and we'll talk to you then.
I won't say another word for 2 weeks.
Our content development specialists join us on Wednesdays and Fridays here on Kelly and Company. So really love the great things they bring to us. And in the next hour, what are we bringing to you? The hashtag book talk is trending all over TikTok. We'll be checking with Ryan Huey about that as he joins us for the Chatty Bookshelf. We have our cut for time segment, but up next, The Shack. It's the Friday Buzz. He'll be with us in a moment to kick off hour two of Kelly and Company. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.